Today, markets swoon, lost in a fog of war and recession fears. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, that is post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, across to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia. We cover commodities and crypto along the way. War does not run to a script. Not least because all parties have a say about what happens next. Mohammed Al-Arin said on X, consensus is shifting, and rightly so. This third week of the war has fueled a shift from a short-term energy disruption to long-term structural damage. With that, the broader fallout, also marked by the non-linear risks associated with tipping points and multiple equilibrium dynamics, poses an increasing threat to global economic well-being and financial stability. While the Americans and Israelis will not stop until they're confident that all of Iran's ballistic and nuclear weapons capabilities are permanently incapacitated, things have spun out of control, and hopes for a quick resolution to the Iran war were dialed back this week once energy infrastructure sites across the Middle East became targets. The New York Times reported that Iran has continued to launch retaliatory strikes, with countries around the Middle East allied with the US saying they were facing incoming drones and missiles. And the paper added that Israel had targeted Tehran after missile alarms were set off in Jerusalem and northern Israel overnight. Meanwhile, US media reported that Iran fired two ballistic missiles at Diego Garcia, but neither hit the joint US-UK base on the Chagos Islands. Iran's Atomic Energy Organization said that the Natanz nuclear facility in central Iran had been targeted again by strikes. Qatar, whose major natural gas production facility, Ras Laffan, was hit by Iranian strikes, said that its export capacity had been reduced by 17% and will take as many as 5 years to repair. The country, of course, is a major gas exporter, especially to Europe, where the regional national gas benchmark surged and has driven worries over a spike in inflation. The TFF natural gas futures was up 85% over the last month, which of course sounds inflationary. The Israeli Prime Minister confirmed that President Donald Trump had asked Israel to hold off on future attacks on Iranian energy infrastructure. Mercurial Trump flops from hinting at easing up on the attacks to threatening more action. And some suggest that to account for the 441 kilograms of enriched uranium that could theoretically yield material for maybe 9 to 10 nuclear weapons within weeks would require boots on the ground, possibly special forces. They've been beating us psychologically, making us look a bunch of fools, Trump told The Guardian in an interview in 1988. One bullet shot at one of our men or ship, and I'd do a number on Karg Island. I'd go in and take it. As he headed for Florida for the weekend, Trump said he saw no need for a ceasefire. But shortly afterwards, he posted on social media that the US is, quote, very close to meeting our objectives as we consider winding down our great military efforts in the Middle East with respect to the terrorist regime in Iran. And US Pentagon officials have made detailed plans for deploying US ground forces into Iran, according to CBS News, citing multiple sources briefed on the discussions. And earlier, Reuters reported that the US was deploying thousands of additional Marines and sailors to the Middle East, again citing US officials. And Trump has managed to get the UK and Europe to do a dramatic about-face to defend the passage of oil through the Straits of Hormuz after they pointedly refused to do so. On March the 19th, leaders of Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, the Netherlands and the UK issued a joint statement condemning in the strongest terms recent attacks by Iran on unarmed commercial vessels in the Gulf, attacks on civilian infrastructure including oil and gas installations, and the de facto closure of the Straits of Hormuz by Iranian forces. As a net exporter of energy, we are somewhat insulated from the shock, Trump gloated. We don't use the Strait of Hormuz We are defending it for everybody else. And in the case of NATO, they don't want to defend the Strait, and they're the ones that need it, he added. City analysts now expect Brent to move higher, somewhere between $110 and $120 a barrel, assuming oil flow disruptions caused by attacks on energy production locations last for another 4 to 6 weeks. Brent oil futures were last at $109.55, up 57.35% over the past month, although spot prices have reached as much as $180. And West Texas Intermediate futures was at $94.74. The IEA warned that this crisis is the biggest ever and suggested countries should be conserving oils now. Oh, and the US is lifting oil sanctions on, wait for it, Iran. Scott Bessent called it a narrowly tailored short-term authorization permitting the sale of Iranian oil currently stranded at sea. In passing, note that gold, the safe haven, has dropped nearly 10% over the past month to $4,575. Faced with the prospect of higher borrowing costs in Europe, the US, and elsewhere, investors have piled into the US dollar, denting the appeal of non-yielding gold despite bullion's typical status as a safe haven during a time of crisis. The DXY was last at 99.50. Markets are trying to digest the fallout, not just in oil supply, but also commodities like urea, helium, plastics, sulfur, and many other things too. The bottom line is, already economies are taking a hit. As always, the less well-off will feel the effects first. See my recent show with Tara Brooker, Are We Up the Creek Without a Paddle, where we went deep into the consequences. And here is one to note. CNBC reported that the Hormuz closure puts America's generic drug supply at risk, as the active pharmaceutical ingredients in roughly half of America's generic prescriptions begin as petrochemical derivatives manufactured in India from petrochemical imports from, yes, you've guessed it, the Gulf. So all up, no surprise, therefore, that the MSCI Global Index of shares fell 1.39% on Friday, to be down nearly 7% over the past month. The Stock 600 in Europe fell 1.78%, to be down just over 9% over the month, while the All Asia, excluding Japan, was down 3.49% on Friday, to be down nearly 10% over the past month. Australian shares fell for a third consecutive week too, down 0.8% on Friday to 8,428, leaving the benchmark down 2.2% for the week. The index has lost 8.4% since the war began on February the 28th, erasing almost $280 billion in value. US equities and bonds extended losses to end Wall Street's trading week, with the S&P 500 1.5% lower, with utilities and real estate pacing 9 of the 11 industry sectors down and poised to fall below the 6,500-point mark. Friday marked the once-in-a-quarter simultaneous expiry of derivatives contracts tied to stocks, index options and futures, also known as triple witching, and volumes on US exchanges was very heavy at 27.5 billion shares traded, compared to an average of 20.1 billion shares over the previous 20 sessions. The Dow shed 1%, the Nasdaq Composite lost 2%. And Wall Street's most valuable companies dropped, with Nvidia and Tesla losing over 3% each. Alphabet, Meta, and Microsoft were all down about 2%. And Supermicro Computer tumbled 33% after three people associated with the artificial intelligence server maker were charged with smuggling at least $2.5 billion worth of AI technology to China. FedEx, often seen as the barometer of business activity, issued upbeat forecasts and said global demand was holding steady despite geopolitical tensions, sending its shares up 1%, as the chief financial officer said FedEx had not yet seen jet fuel supplies affected by the fighting. The Russell 2000 index of smaller companies, though, dropped 2.26%, leaving it down 10% from its record high close on January the 22nd, and the volatility index was 40% up compared with a month ago. Bond yields surged higher across Europe and the US. The yield on the UK's 10-year note leapt 14 basis points. There was a 12 basis point rise for France and 9 for Germany. The yield on the US 10-year note was 13 basis points higher to 4.38%, and the Aussie 10-year was up above 5% as the RBA lifted rates this week on fears of higher for longer inflation, even before the impact of the third Gulf War. Most other central banks held, including the Fed, the Bank of England, the ECB, and the Bank of Japan. Underlying the trend of central banks holding, the Swiss National Bank also opted not to move rates in either direction, but stressed that the economic backdrop was becoming more uncertain during the Iran conflict. And meanwhile, hotter than expected US producer price inflation data for February exacerbated fears that inflationary pressures were already lingering in the world's biggest economy, even before the outbreak of the Iran war. We just have a classic environment which is pushing rates up, and it's driven by higher inflation expectations, which relate back to the oil price. And the fact that we're heading into the fourth week of the war suggests that the stress is not going away anytime soon, said ING. Even as leaping oil prices darken the inflation outlook, the Federal Reserve's policy announcement on Wednesday appeared to at least leave the possibility of rate cuts later in the year on the table. It's worth remembering that cutting rates can help spur growth and support a slackening labour market, albeit at the risk of igniting inflation. A dozen of the 19 participants at the Fed's latest meeting penciled in at least one reduction in rates in 2026 in their quarterly projections, matching predictions back in December. But speaking at a press conference after the Fed chose to leave rates unchanged at the range of 3.5 to 3.75%, as anticipated, Fed Chair Jerome Powell warned that investors should take the forecast with some scepticism, even more than usual. And Fed Chair Powell addressed the inflation concerns at a news conference in Washington on Wednesday. Near-term measures of inflation expectations have risen in recent weeks, likely reflecting the substantial rise in oil prices caused by the supply disruptions in the Middle East. He said, higher energy prices will push up overall inflation, he added, but it's too soon to know the scope and duration of the potential effects on the economy. European stocks declined again on Friday, and investors assessed elevated oil prices amid an intensifying conflict in the Middle East. The pan-European Stock 600 declined 1.7%. The DAX in Germany tumbled 2.2%. The CAC 40 in France fell 1.7%. And the FTSE 100 in the UK dropped 1.6%. The European Central Bank also warned that the longer the conflict between Iran and the joint forces of the US and Israel go on, the more upward pressure could be placed on inflation. Policymakers at the ECB kept rates steady, mirroring moves by other central banks around the world, but lifted their inflation expectations substantially for 2026, citing the projected impact of the Iran war. British energy stocks slipped 1.7%, but were still around record high levels. Aerospace and defence stocks and banking shares weighed, though, the most on the London benchmark, falling 2.5% and 2% respectively. The Bank of England held rates at 3.75% at Thursday's policy meeting. It warned that inflation posed a bigger risk than slowing growth, pushing traders to price in a roughly 70% chance of a 25 basis point hike by April and up to 3/4 point increases by the end of the year. Rachel Reeves must feel like she's been squeezed between a rock and a hard place, as the current geopolitical instability rams home the need to spend more on defence, but leaves ordinary workers at risk of another inflation burn, said Danny Hewson, head of financial analysis at AJ Bell. UBS has downgraded its outlook on UK equities to neutral, citing limited upside potential compared to global markets, despite reasonable valuations and expected earnings growth. The FTSE 100 currently trades with a 13.5 times forward price to earnings ratio, slightly above its median of 12.8 times since 1990, according to their analysis. The bank expects UK earnings growth to reach 5% in 2026 and 15% in 2027. The Swiss bank has adjusted its European sector preferences, downgrading European banks to neutral after strong recent performance and early signs of slowing earnings upgrades. A reemergence of US-Europe trade tensions or lower commodity prices could also weigh on performance, as commodity sectors contribute around 20 to 25% of FTSE 100 earnings. Asian stocks were mixed in choppy trading on Friday as investors grappled with sharply volatile oil prices, driven, of course, by those escalating Middle East tensions, while China kept its benchmark lending rates unchanged. South Korea's KOSPI rose 0.5% in contrast to other regional benchmarks as tech gains lent support. The index was up over 5% this week after recent severe falls. The Japanese market was closed for a public holiday on Friday. Earlier, the Bank of Japan held its short-term policy rate at 0.75% as widely expected, choosing to pause tightening while officials assess risks from imported inflation and external shocks. Policymakers said the future course of the Middle East conflict and crude oil prices could affect Japan's inflation path, especially given the country's heavy reliance on energy imports. Board member Hamai Takaya dissented from the decision, calling for a 25 basis point hike, underscoring growing concerns within the board that persistent price pressures may require a firmer response. Japan's Nikkei 225 dropped 2.6% on Thursday, while the broader topics slid 2%. China's central bank kept its loan prime rates unchanged for a 10th straight month, with the one-year LPR held at 3% and the five-year rate, which influences mortgage prices, at 3.5%, in line with market expectations. China's Shanghai Composite Index edged 0.3% lower, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng fell 0.7%. In company news, Hong Kong-listed Alibaba shares declined 5% after the company reported a profit drop hit by heavy spending and weak e-commerce performance. India's Nifty 50 was at 23,114, down 9.61% for the month, but actually pretty flat net for the week. Australian shares fell for a third consecutive week as rising energy costs caused by the war in the Middle East forced markets to reprice interest rate expectations following the hawkish central bank move. The ASX 200 on Friday fell 0.8% to 8,428, leaving the benchmark down 2.2% for the week. The index has lost 8.4% since the war began on February 28th, erasing almost $280 billion in value. Rising inflation and fading prospects for rate cuts pushed gold to its biggest weekly drop since the March 2020 period at the onset of COVID-19, sending miners lower. Greatland Resources fell 7.3% to $10.11. Aura Banda Mining dropped 7.8% to $1.18. And Newmont lost 2.6% to $140.46. In energy, Woodside Energy rose 1% to $34.04. Santos fell by 0.5% to $7.98, while Ampol added 0.4% to $3.11. And Viva Energy fell 2.8% to $2.36, despite increased government refinery support. Coal miners rose after Reuters reported strikes had damaged 70% of Qatar's LNG capacity, with repairs potentially taking years. Yancoal gained 3.5% to $8.31, and Whitehaven Coal rose 3.9% to $9.30. Prime Investments slid 4.3% to $11.98 after a mixed first-half result, with strength in Peter Alexander offset by double-digit sales declines at Smiggle as the brand undergoes a strategic reset. Virgin Australia dropped 5% to $2.45, taking total losses in the past month to 24%. It came as the airline said it was preparing to increase airfares by about 5% to make up for higher costs, including a tighter aviation fuel market. Electro-Optic Systems reversed heavy losses to close up 2.6% at $9.90 after confirming Chief Executive Andreas Scheuer sold 1.5 million shares, though the company said no further sales are planned. Coles rose 0.8% to $201.59 after flagging it would shift fuel levy reviews from monthly to fortnightly in response to oil price volatility. The banks all slid on Friday, with the CBA down 0.97%, NAB down 2.25%, NZ down 1.13%, and Westpac down 1.05%. Macquarie was also down to $194.99. In a note, JP Morgan said that the sell-off in base metals is a threat to the Australian dollar. Our attention is fixed on the 69 cent support zone that we've highlighted in recent notes. A downside break would confirm a bearish medium-term trend reversal in our view and initially target 67 cents. The Aussie was last at 70.22 cents against the US dollar and 52.62 UK pence. The UK Aussie Treasury was at 4.806% and the 10-year was above 5% at 5.068%, going up, suggesting more pain for mortgage holders and a slowing property market. In crypto, Bitcoin steadied above 70,000 US on Friday after falling below 69,000 in the previous session. The world's largest cryptocurrency snapped a two-week winning streak, though, as risk assets took a beating over the past few days. It was last at 70,580. After being largely unaffected by the developments in the Middle East over the first 2 weeks of the Iran conflict, the hit to risk appetite from spiking oil prices finally caught up with the cryptocurrency space this week. Cautious central bank commentary hinting at elevated interest rates for longer also weighed on the mood. Broader on-chain activity remains thin, with transfer volumes down 31% and fees down 27% as trading continues to migrate towards derivatives and ETF venues, a structural shift that makes price discovery increasingly driven by macro flows rather than native demand, one analyst said. Most altcoins were also to the upside on Friday, tracking Bitcoin. World number two crypto Ethereum added 1% to $2,154, though world number three crypto XRP was marginally lower at 1.4385. Ahead, events over the next 2 to 3 weeks will either see a slide into longer-term market chaos or an end to the conflict, even if the Iran regime remains in place. But even now, the fallout for markets and ordinary people will be severe. More fuel shortages, higher prices for food and other goods, as well as energy and higher mortgage rates. As ABC's David Taylor said on X, at some point, folks will realize inflation's heading to 6%, the cash rate to 5% plus, and unemployment will surge, producing the first national property price correction in a generation. Though I would note that we still have an undersupply of homes and booming population growth to counter that. But I do remember the 1970s oil shock and what happened then in terms of shortages, falling markets, and structural inflationary pressures. This could well be worse, and as yet there is no end in sight. It reminds me of the foothills at the start of the COVID crisis. Like it or not, things at best will be interesting, but at worst, well, many are going to get bruised thanks to Trump's intervention in the Middle East. Remind me again of who wanted the peace prize? The risks of further miscalculation are enormous and the exit path unclear. Prepare accordingly. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.